500 smaller protests are planned rather than one large march in central London. Thousands of people are expected to call for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Lindsay German is from the Stop the War Coalition.
This is a political question. It's a question of human rights. It's a question that people feel very strongly about. And it is not aimed at any particular group in the community. And certainly, I hope very much that Jewish people won't feel that they can't take part.
Meanwhile, health officials in Gaza say many patients, medical staff and people seeking shelter have now left the territory's main hospital. The Israeli military has been searching the Al-Shifa facility for days, claiming Hamas was using it as a control centre, something it denies. The Chancellor has suggested there's a chance to lower taxes in his autumn statement next week. Jeremy Hunt has told The Telegraph the economy has turned a corner after recent figures showed inflation had halved over the year. But he says the priority for Wednesday's announcement is helping firms and public services need to be more productive and efficient. Mr. Hunt says tough choices are needed.
One thing I want to be very clear about: there's no easy way to reduce the tax burden. What we need to do is to take difficult decisions to reform the welfare state.
Taylor Swift says her heart is shattered after revealing a fan died shortly before her concert in Brazil last night. She says she's devastated but doesn't have much information about what happened. The chief executive of OpenAIA, the firm behind ChatGPT, has been ousted from his role. The board said it no longer had confidence in him. And Andy Murray will miss the Davis Cup finals in Malaga next week. He suffered a shoulder injury. That's the latest. I'm Tanya Snuggs.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon, welcome to Phoenix 98 FM. This is the weekend wind-up.
You saw the plan. It's who I am, it's what I do. And I was gonna lay it down for you. I tried to focus my attention, but I feel so ADD. I need some help, some inspiration.
But it's not coming easily.
Trying to find the magic. Trying to write a classic. Don't you know, don't you know, don't you know. Waste been full of paper. Clever rhymes, see you later.
These words are my own. Let my heart flow. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. There's no other way to better say I love you,
love you, love you.
Read some Byron, Shelley and Keats. Recited it over a hip-hop beat. I'm having trouble saying what I mean. With dead poets and drum machines. You know I had some studio time books, but I couldn't find the killer hook. Now you're gonna raise the bar right up. Nothing I write is ever.
Some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon, as I said, welcome to the Weekend Wind-Up here on Phoenix 98 FM. I hope you're well. Thanks for tuning in today. Great show for you coming up. All the usual features, Danny's Choice, cover for another, Take Fire. If you want to get in touch, please do let me know. You can email me, radio@phoenixfm.com. So kick back, some great music coming up, and some new tracks, including this next one. This is Jungkook. And standing next to you.
I'm looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant, and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privet. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Your local hospice needs your support this festive season, and there are so many ways that you can make a difference. Purchase your Secret Santa and stocking filler gifts at any St. Francis Hospice store. Host a Jumpers or Jim Jams day at work, or support the Christmas Tree Recycling Service. The team at St. Francis Hospice will pick up and recycle your real Christmas tree for a donation with a brand new sponsor, The Sharp Group. So support your local hospice this Christmas.
Events guide sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
Okay, we've got a couple of events coming up this evening you might want to pop along to if you're a bit of a loose end. So first of all, there's Hazel's Quiz, which is the Billericay Women's Institute in St. Edith's Lane, Billericay. It's this evening and it starts at 7 p.m. and it's aided the Billericay Community Archive. Teams of up to eight people. Excuse me a second. excuse me, up to 8, including teams that can be made up of individuals and smaller groups are welcome. You bring your own nibbles and drinks. Tickets are only £6 and you reserve your place by calling 07802 154 677. That's 07802 154 677. But for more information, you can go to www.billericayhistory.org.uk. All these details are on our website as well, by the way, so don't worry if you haven't caught them. And also today, starting at 7.30, there is a Havering Singers Autumn Concert at St Peter's Church in Gubbins Lane, Harrowwood. Starts at 7.30 and the Havering Singers will be performing Foyer, Requiemment and Polemic Gloria with musical director Jonathan Rathbone and organist Jonathan Lilly. Tickets are only £15 and you can get them from 07342 883 211, 07342 883 211. You can buy them on the door as well. And for more details, go to haveringsingers.org.uk. But as I said, all this information is on our website.
Phoenix FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Visit us at 1 Copfold Road, Brentwood, or call on 01277 222269. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
This is the new one from Duran Duran, Black Moonlight.
We are on possession with the crucial, with the wild. Taken in possession by the music and beguiled.
FM travel news.
Okay, your first travel update of the day from me, and the roads are actually not too bad. There's a few problem areas around Brim, but nothing major, just this is the ongoing roadworks, which is causing some delays and stuff, but traffic seems to be moving all right. Lakeside Thurrock, as you would expect, is blocked at the moment, but that's going to be Christmas shopping, isn't it? So you're going to expect this every week now until Christmas, so just be mindful of that. But apart from that, all roads looking okay, all major roads are fine at the moment. Now, on the public transport, on C2 as you see, there are improvement works happening today. So planned engineering works are going to be taking place between Barking and Ockenden. Started at 4 a.m. this morning until 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. All services via Ockenden are going to be replaced by buses between Upminster and Ockenden. And there's also a shuttle service between Grays and Ockenden as well. So just if you are thinking of using C2C on that part of the line, be mindful of that. On the London Underground, there's a park closure on the Central Line and also on the Docklands Light Railway with a suspension at the moment on the Piccadilly Line and a planned closure on the Waterloo and City Line. And finally, services into London, Liverpool Street with Greater Anglia. All looking okay at the moment, no major problems, but I'll keep you updated with another bulletin in the next hour.
Fell into a bucket of cream. Here's two guys that fell into a radio station to talk about movies on Phoenix FM.
So can we welcome Mr. Mark Searby to the studio? Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Spencer. You doing well?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Not bad at all. So what have we got today? What do you like to await us?
Well, you know, I keep banging this drum of we are in award season. We're in award season. We're getting these awards-type movies now. So let's start with a movie that I think possibly is going to be nominated for a lot of awards come whenever the awards are, what, February, March, April, beyond
that. Yeah,
there,
around that time, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is in cinemas now. It's a movie called Saltburn, and it's about a student at Oxford University who finds himself drawn into the world of a charming and aristocratic classmate who invites him to his eccentric family's sprawling estate for a summer never to be forgotten. Now, I didn't know this until the other week when I went up to Manchester, is that there actually is a place called Saltburn in the UK.
There is, because funny enough, I was in Manchester a couple of weeks ago, wasn't I? And I, when I was up there, I saw a sign for it while I was about. It just made me remember, yeah.
Yeah, whether Saltburn is filmed in Saltburn, I don't know. That's the thing. They're keeping it quite quiet. The reason they're keeping it quite quiet is because they don't want people going to this lavish estate. I understand that. Now, this is the new movie from writer-director Emerald Fennell, who previously made A Promising Young Woman a couple of years ago. I'm trying to think. Yeah, probably 2020. It came out 2021, maybe something like that. And that was a very good movie. This one is like a mix of Brideshead Revisited, The Talented Mr. Ripley, Cruel Intentions, and American Psycho, to name a few. It's a lavish movie. It's an opulent movie as well, but it's also down and dirty and filthy and very, very, very racy. It is an astounding piece of work. It's also a confrontational piece of work as well. And that, I think that's why I loved it so much, is that it just doesn't take any prisoners when it comes to showing some of the, let's say, seedier elements of the storyline.
I have to say, without casting any sort of aspersion at all on our northern friends, having been in that area, you mentioned Brideshead, you mentioned Downton, they aren't the sort of properties that I saw in those locations.
Right. Okay.
It's far more built up and cosmopolitan than that.
Right. Well, this one is not. What we see, actually, it's interesting you bring that up, because this is very much on this huge estate, this massive estate, lavish and just, you know, the type of thing where you go, wow, that's an estate. You know, rich people must live there. But initially what we see is Oliver, who is this quiet, almost nerdy guy. He's struggling to fit in at Oxford, but he befriends the outgoing and, truth be told, devilishly handsome Felix. And he suddenly finds, Oliver starts to find an element of his persona that he never really knew he had. And it's fun to watch them lark about while at Oxford. They're playing pranks, getting drunk, trying to chat up girls. It's kind of fun. But the film really kicks properly into gear when they go to Felix's family estate. And there the film switches to this cat and mouse game of, I'm going to say, epic proportions, but this is an unofficial cat and mouse game, but it's got some very serious consequences. And what's great about this entire film is that you never know what's going to happen. It is constantly changing tack or spinning off in another direction. It's a wild ride, but here's the thing. It's a ride that I think some people will want to get off of. In the screening I saw it at, and it was full, it was completely full, it was about 500 people, there's a scene in it. Certain scene. I'm not going to mention what this scene is because it would be a spoiler. People walked out. Some people walked out at this scene.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The rest of the audience was split into two camps. They either laughed nervously or made a vomiting noise.
Was it funny shocking or disturbing shocking?
It sits somewhere in between both. I think it depends on how you view the scene and also what your disposition is as well. I'm not going to say what this scene is, but I will say this. I thought it was both hilarious and grotesque. And I think that's, maybe that says something about me, Spencer. I don't know. Whatever. You know, I mean, that's the thing. But I think that's why I love this film, because it's pushing boundaries as to what we find acceptable from the people we're seeing on screen. You know, those people are a different breed of characters. And
Is it a scene that feels that it fits in naturally, or do they feel they fitted it in for shock value?
That's a good question. I'm going to say initially it's shock value.
Okay.
But the more the film rolls on, you realise it's not.
Yeah, it's a natural place, yeah.
It's there. That's the thing. So we've got this movie that's basically just saying, are these people eccentric? We don't know. Or do we say what they're doing is right or wrong? I'm not really sure. That's the beauty of the film. It constantly makes you question not just the characters, but yourself as well, as to what you would feel in that situation, what you would feel if you were Oliver, what you would feel if you were Felix or anything else like that. There's loads of things here. And the further the storyline plays out, the further Oliver finds himself in strange situations that he has to adapt to. And I think this isn't a question of him becoming like his friend Felix. It's more of him learning what these rich people are truly like. But at the same time, Oliver is dealing with some sexual feelings that he's never had to deal with before. So there is, in here, in this strange movie, there is a sort of coming-of-age story wrapped up in it. There's also some harrowing moments in there as well, which deal with that. But once again, I'm not going to spoil those because you need to witness them for yourself. It's a fish out of water story. That's the most basic I can tell you, Spencer. It's a fish out of water story. But then throw in some gore, throw in some sex, throw in some lust, throw in some hedonism, throw in some eccentricity, some friendship, some loneliness, some tragedy. And suddenly you have a film that is provocative, unapologetically provocative. And as I said,
you don't mind that though, do you?
I don't, but this is what
you
I'm
like
saying
that, yeah.
I do like a movie that's pushing and challenging as well at times. As I said, some people didn't. The people who I saw walk out, they did not, and I understand that to a certain degree. I get it. But for me, I came away going, that's an astounding piece of work. It's bold, it's brave. It's everything I like seeing in filmmaking in terms of a writer-director going, I'm making this movie. Nobody's getting in the way of it. The acting is superb. Barry Kehoe, who, you know, me and you have spoken off-air about him many times, and we've said, fantastic actor. If he doesn't win an Oscar in the next 5 years, then I think I might just eat a shoe or something. Amazing actor. Jacob Elordi as well in here. Richard E. Grant's in here as well. It's a really good cast. But it's the story. It's the story that takes you everywhere. So I saw this movie last month, about a month ago, and I still can't stop thinking about certain scenes in it. It's sticking in my mind for good reasons, certainly. And for that, not only do I love it, I think it's one of the best movies I've seen this year.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But as I said, Spencer, there's going to be people who turn around and go, it's one of the worst movies of the year. And I get it.
But that's what filmmaking is. That's what filmmaking is, isn't it? It's, you're always going to get somebody who likes it and somebody who hates it. So
yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
That's what the movies are.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah, absolutely. Look, and it's only my opinion. You know, that's the beauty of film criticism, is it is about opinions. But man, this movie, wow, just, I came away and just thinking, I don't know of a better British movie over the past couple of years, really. As I said, bold, brave filmmaking, provocative. Loved it for it.
Ringing endorsement. Brilliant stuff. All right, what's next on the list?
So, out now on Blu-ray and DVD, well, reissued on for the first time, actually, on Blu-ray and DVD, and then it's going to be in cinemas next weekend as well. We've got Santa Claus the movie. Now, me and you, Spencer, are around the same age, so we kind of remember this, don't we? In that, for me, I remember this being on TV every Christmas when I was young.
I actually think it was on TV last year.
Was it?
Yes, I think it was on one of the streaming movie channels. I don't think it was on like the terrestrial TV, but I think it was on. I remember seeing it because it's one of those films when it's on, I watch it, and even though I've watched it and I've seen it and I know what happened. Da, 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 and that, but there are certain Christmas films that you just do watch, don't you?
It's
kind of like, it's even though they might not be very good, or you know, God forbid, might be slightly overrated and overegged. Yeah. Meaning of life, everyone. So I'm just, it's just kind of.
It's always been there, basically, for us.
Yeah,
I think for our generation, it's always been there. But I felt like maybe over time it's fallen away, maybe been forgotten about a little bit. It's nice to hear that it's still being played on TV, certainly. Now it's back, It's been scrubbed up. It's in 4K. It's a re-release on Blu-ray. As I said, it's also going to be in 4K in the cinemas as well. For anybody who doesn't know this movie, it's about Santa Claus, obviously, who is put in jeopardy when an unscrupulous toy manufacturer attempts to take over Christmas. The thing with this movie that I think most people who know this movie, know what I'm talking about, will remember is the fact that Dudley Moore's in it. That's it.
Although I watch it all the time, I'm trying to remember, and I'm trying to track. Was this one? Was Burgess Meredith in this film?
Yeah,
and it was one of his final films, wasn't it?
That's a good question. I'm not too sure, but
yeah, I think it might have been
interesting. But yeah, it's an interesting cast. There are other people in there as well. That's the thing. Like John Lithgow plays the nasty toy manufacturer in here as well. But I think most people remember it for Dudley Moore, who plays this wayward elf called Patch, and he's scooped up by this toy manufacturer. I think Dudley Moore is enjoyable, even if the film itself is a bit lightweight for his talents, considering what mm-hmm. we know here in the UK of how good Dudley Moore was.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes the whole film a bit more fun with his silly antics. You know, I love the fact that this is a traditional Santa Claus in there. You know, none of that updated to the 80s type stuff. Because, you know, this came out in the early 80s. But it doesn't feel like they've gone, right, we need to soup it up into the 80s or anything else like that. It's a classic Santa. It's how many people think Santa should look. And Mrs. Claus as well. And I like the fact that the film has Santa helping kids who are trying to rescue Patch while also trying to be nice to each other. It's just nice, easygoing. It's one of those movies you sink into. The toy manufacturer played by John Lithgow, who clearly is having an absolute blast in this because he just snarls and barks at everybody because he's just about the money.
And he's a superb actor, by the way.
Superb actor. Absolutely. Yep. Even in this, you know, it's not stretching him as an actor, even back then, but he's really good in this. But I like everybody in it. I think it's a nice movie. However, what I took away most from this film is that it does have a traditional Christmas movie storyline about helping others and how you can use your own abilities, whether you're rich or poor, to help others who are in need of something at Christmas time. Yes, look, there's a few subplots that are a bit stuffed, and it sort of doesn't really work with the subplots. It tries to wiggle its way out of the things, and then there's a sort of weird big loop-de-loop finale that I'm kind of like, whatever. But the traditional Christmas storyline is here. That's the beauty of this movie. And I keep using that word, traditional. And that's what I think. I think it is one of those movies that, because we're so used to, I don't want to say CGI in Christmas movies, because that would be wrong, but, you know, all singing, all dancing, it's pow, it's bazaars, it's all of this, and it's all that. Movies like this, traditional movies,
it takes the heart out of it, doesn't it? Some of the more modern ones. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I think we lose a bit of that. So watching this again after many years, I haven't seen this for many years, maybe 10 years, maybe more. I just came away going, I like this. It's nice. It's easy. You know, it's like a warm blanket on a cold Christmas day to me. Is that what you think as well?
It is. And also, I'm just racking my brains here because I didn't properly watch it last year. But from memory, any film that casts, and I might be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure she played Daisy in Keeping Up Appearances as Mrs. Santa. Was it Judy Cornwell? Is it Judy Cornwell?
No, I'm not sure on that one. I'll bow to your knowledge.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she played Daisy, the frumpy sister in Keeping Up Appearances on TV. And any film that translates from that to that has got my vote. It really has. So, no, you're right. It's what I call a Saturday afternoon film. So when it's really cold out and you put the lights on, the tree lights, and you watch it, and it just makes you feel like, Christmas is coming. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of those films.
It is, yeah. The other thing I want to mention as well is the cinematography and the sets. You know, in a CGI heavy world that we now live in, it's nice to see a film that uses genuine cinematography and genuine sets for a lot of the scenes. You know, a lot of the backgrounds are of skylines from New York, and that looks lovely. The sets inside the elves' workshop were clearly constructed right down to the small details. And I just thought they were fantastic. I love the fact that you get to see all of the machines working. I enjoyed the imagery of how they showed Santa's sleigh when it flew. Yes, it looks dated. Okay, fine. But at the same time, I go back to that word again, Spencer, traditional. And that's what I like about it. You could do a lot worse than sticking this movie on this weekend or on the lead up to Christmas or going to see it in the cinema, because it's just a delight. It really is. You know, the fact that you watch it every year, I think, tells you the fact that it's still got a place in everybody's heart.
Well, you know why as well? Because you say about the detail, it's like, you know, if you remember, if you was a kid and you was a kid that was fortunate to go to a grotto, sometimes, looking back on it now, some grottos were amazing and some grottos were somebody decided to shove a bit of tinsel on a light fitting and put a man in a little fitting suit.
Yeah, yeah.
And said, oh, that's a grotto. But and that film is, you know, that film is... It's like the Hamleys of you know, it's rich in its sense of its detail and its kind and its colour and its depth, and it makes you feel it is Christmas.
Oh, you make a really good point there. Yeah, absolutely. It's the Hamleys Christmas grotto of Christmas movies, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is, and I just I think it's just a great film. It really is. And as I said, there are some Christmas films I find slightly overrated, but this for me is a classic one, and I really like it. I really do. So, brilliant stuff. Thank you. And what have we got lined up for next week?
So next week, we are going to be talking about the new Ridley Scott movie about Napoleon, starring Joaquin Phoenix. So that's going to be
That's a casting.
It is, absolutely. It's an epic. It's 2.75 hours, I think. So we will be talking about that. We will also be talking about a British movie called Girl, which is the directorial debut of a new up-and-coming filmmaker. So we'll be talking about that. And then if you subscribe to the podcast, we've got a new Nicolas Cage movie. Now, I know Nicolas Cage makes, you know, 10 movies every month or something, but this one's called The Retirement Plan, and Nicolas Cage plays somebody who's retired. I can't believe it.
No. We were just discussing Nicolas Cage, weren't we, as Superman literally 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Now he's thinking he's retiring. He's got, I tell you what, though, in this movie, he's got a good choice of Hawaiian shirts. Big praise for him for the Hawaiian shirt choices in this movie.
One of the few men who can pull off an Hawaiian shirt. Cool
with it. Yeah. Very true. Very true.
Him and Barry from EastEnders. No, thank you, mate. Appreciate that today. So looking forward to next week. And listen, you have yourself a good week.
I will do. You too.
You take care.
Miss this week's film reviews? Then listen again on phoenixfm.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This little cottage came to market. This stylish flat made a home. This country house had hundreds of steps, whilst this bungalow had none. And this little semi said, me, 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 make me your home.
Whatever your property requirements, Beresford's have it covered. To book your free valuation, pop into one of our 17 branches across Essex and into Greater London, or visit beresfords.co.uk.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leilina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
When you said you were leaving, to work on your mental health.
Thanks to Jeff, who messaged in saying that really enjoying the Phoenix film and DVD reviews the past few weeks. Thanks, Jeff. It's relatively new for the show, so we appreciate it. I'll pass on the comments to Mark as well. Thank you. Now, as promised as well, today's Danny's Choice. Danny has he's delivered once again. The man's like a postman. So he's delivered a great track, and today's choice is from a band. Funnily enough, very bizarrely, I was offered tickets last night. Minus Annie, but Dave Stewart was performing songs at the Palladium last night for the Eurythmics, and a friend of mine messaged me he couldn't go and said he didn't want the tickets, and I didn't go, and I was because I wasn't able to, but I think it would have been a good evening. So if anybody did go, I hope you enjoyed it. But today's Danny's Choice is from the Eurythmics. Thanks, Dan, and you've picked a great one.
Some of them want to get used by I took it all out on you, I never meant to. If I left you outside, if you ever failed, I ignored you. No, my life is all you. So put your best dress on and wrap yourself in the arms of someone who wants to give you all the love you want. Tonight, gonna make it up to you tonight.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.